Luke chapter number 23, we're going to talk about the two men beside Jesus on the cross. These two men had very different viewpoints of who Jesus was, and we're going to talk about it tonight. Two men hung beside Jesus on that fateful day, condemned criminals, each with the story that had led them to this very moment, their lives marked by rebellion, sin, and choices that had brought them to the cross. They were now intertwined with the Savior of the world. As the sun began to fade into the shadow of a dark sky, these two men were not just witnesses to Jesus' suffering, but they were participants in the most powerful story in the world. One thief mocked, his heart hardened by years of bitterness and unbelief. He saw only weakness in Jesus, unable to comprehend the purpose behind his pain. To him, the cross was simply the end of this man in the center's death, and this man's life, no different than the fate of his own. The other thief, however, saw something entirely different. He looked at Jesus and recognized a number of things in this man, this marvelous man. In a moment of desperation, his heart was softened, and his simple plea was, "Remember me." Let's read Luke chapter number 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription was also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God? See, thou art in the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to come to church today. Lord, just be with the sermon. Just help me to give the words to say. Let it be you and not me. And Jesus, just help us in the service. And just if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, we pray that they would come to know you. And Lord, we would be inspired to go tell more people about what you've done on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at a couple different things that the thief that did not believe and the thief that did believe believed about Jesus. Because each one of them believed something. Everyone believes something about their eternity. Everyone believes something about who God is. Everyone believes something about who Jesus was. Isn't it awesome that every religion in the world had to account for Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ had such a dynamic and such a powerful witness to the whole world that every religion has to account for him. He was that dynamic of a man. He was that much God as a man. He was so powerful that the Muslims had to make him a prophet. Nobody had to go and just ignore who Jesus was. Everyone had to account for Jesus, but Jesus accounted for himself. He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no one that comes to the Father but by me." The unbelieving man on the cross saw the Messiah, this is point number one, the Messiah as a weak person and powerless. He did not see him in glory. He did not see what was actually happening when he was on the cross. He saw him and looked at him and said, I'm in the same condition as him. He's no better off than me. And he railed him. He mocked him because to him, he just saw another person on a cross that he had no doubt seen before. And here he has found himself on the cross as well. He saw him as weak. He also saw him. He marked Jesus as a fraud. He marked him as a fraud. He's a fake. No doubt he had heard the prophecy of who Jesus was supposed to be. And many Jews saw him as a person that's supposed to come and establish a kingdom. But they were looking at the second coming. They weren't looking for the Messiah. That's why they rejected Jesus. He dismissed Jesus as an imposter who falsely claimed divinity. He mocked Jesus, thinking he was no different than himself. He misunderstood Jesus' mission. He didn't understand the mission of Jesus Christ. He thought Jesus, the Messiah, was supposed to come and establish that kingdom. And he dismissed that this man, there can't be anything special about this guy. He must be the same. He called out to him, you know, if you're God, save yourself. Save us too while you're at it. He didn't believe God. He didn't fear God. He was not a God-fearing man. He didn't fear the power of God. But he also missed Jesus' offering of grace. The other man at one point was mocking with him. But at some point, that man realized, no, wait a minute. They're calling him king. They're calling him Lord. Let's look at what the man who believed thought about Jesus. He perceived Jesus as innocent. He saw that. He said, we deserve to be here. Jesus does not. What has he done? Pilate washed his hands. There's no way that this innocent man should be up here with us. We're guilty. We're here on purpose. We've done crimes. We've been found guilty. They knew they were sinners. You know, sinners know they're sinners. I don't know if you've done much witnessing, but people, we don't need to stick on the part about people are all bad. Sometimes we have the problem of, well, they don't think they're bad enough. But everyone understands that we're sinners. We just don't understand the gravity of our sin. We're all sinners. But this man perceived Jesus as an innocent man. He rebuked the mocking thief. He said, wait a minute. No, this guy doesn't deserve to be here. He's done nothing amiss. Jesus was silent. He didn't stop anything from happening. No doubt the two men on the side put up a fight to get away from that cross. No doubt they did not want to be there, and they were going to put up their best effort to get away from them. But those Roman guards, those Romans were professionals at this. They have done this thousands of times. Jesus wasn't the first man to die on a cross. No, they've perfected the art of crucifixion and to inflict suffering on man. And they did so with joy at Jesus because of who Jesus said he was. They struck him and said, who struck you? They put him through a torture that they were excellent at. And Jesus did it willingly. He didn't fight it. He didn't. He chose it for us. Jesus, this man, saw Jesus as his suffering was on purpose. Nobody goes through that willingly on purpose unless they have an actual purpose to why they're doing it. No one could have actually gone to the cross. I could not have gone to the cross and endured what Jesus did willingly. I could not have. I would want to fight. I would be in pain. I'd be trying to get away from it. But Jesus wasn't me. Jesus was God. He was there for a divine purpose. His grace was possible. He had the power. He had proved who he was by fulfilling the prophecies. He was there on a divine purpose. Number three, Jesus, first thing he saw was he perceived that Jesus was innocent. Second was that he saw Jesus' suffering was on purpose. Third, he understood that Jesus has the power to forgive. He heard, Father, forgive them. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The dying thief learned the gospel from the lips of Christ's enemies. He saved others. He can save himself. That man on the cross said, wait a minute, he can save me? I am in a predicament that I cannot get out of. I am in a hopeless state, and I have no savior to get out of this state. I'm about to die. Can he save others? He can. What a very simple, yet a grand bit of gospel that was there for the dying thief's ear. He saved others. Because if he saved others, surely he can save me. The fourth thing he saw, he praised Christ as a king with a kingdom. said, this guy must have a kingdom, the king of the Jews. He must be who he claims to be. It's all clicking. Have you ever been there when you're witnessing to someone lost and it starts to click with them and they start understanding and they start seeing this, all these things come together about who Jesus is, what their predicament is as a lost person? That's what that man was going through. No doubt he had heard who Jesus was. Jesus made a name for himself in a very short period of time. People knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. So he had heard about him. Now he's seeing him in action. Forgive others. Tell someone, hey, take care of my mom. Set things in order, right? While he's on the cross. No doubt he is looking at Jesus going, I think it's true. I believe it's true. Surely he believed in God. He saw that Jesus was the king. When he declared, when he called out to God, he hadn't been to church. He didn't have a sinner's prayer. The thief on the cross did not pray the sinner's prayer. He was dying. There was no option to go get baptized. He didn't have the option to become part of a church. He didn't have the option to serve God. He didn't have the option to go and make restitution for the sins that he had committed. He saw that he needed to ask Jesus a simple question. Will you remember me? Will you, I see you as God. I see you as Savior. I'm guilty. You're innocent. Will you remember me? Will you remember me when you enter thy kingdom? He pleaded with Christ as his last hope. Oftentimes, a person, before they receive Jesus Christ, has to be at the end of no hope. They have to be at the place where, I get it. I'm lost. I'm dying. I'm going to hell. There's no good in me. What do I look for? What do I need? Tell me. You know, I've been there where I've gotten to witness to somebody, and you get to them to the place where you have to get them lost. Before someone can be saved, they have to be lost. You can't go and just, will you pray with me? Okay, repeat after me. You know, that doesn't work. You can't just go get people to just pray this random prayer. They don't know why. You need to see yourself as lost. If you've never seen yourself as a lost person, you're not saved. I've talked to many people. Well, how long have you believed in God? How long have you been a Christian? How long have you been saved? Oh, I was saved at birth. Oh, I've always been saved. Oh, I was saved as a kid. Oh, I was baptized. None of that saves you. It's that moment in time where you realize you're a sinner. I had to realize I'm a sinner. When you realize that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, right? He wasn't just a man, he was God. He was God and man, here for a purpose, here to die for us. That should be inspiring. But we have to come to that place where we see ourselves as a sinner, see as God. God is who he says he is, and receive him as our Savior. There's nothing I can do. It's all what Jesus has done for us. He pleaded with Christ as his last resort. The story of the thieves on the cross illustrates two responses to Jesus: rejection or faith. That's the only option. Every person here has the option to reject Jesus or to believe in Jesus. Everyone in Indiana has the option to reject Jesus or to receive Jesus. We go knock on doors to give people the option at their door to reject Jesus or to receive Jesus. The purpose of this church is to give people the option to reject Jesus or to receive Jesus. Those church doors will stay open by the grace of God to give people the choice for as long as we can till Jesus comes, because we want to be the light to those people that don't know who Jesus is, to say, hey, Jesus died on a cross for you. He was there, he hung, he lived, he died, he was perfect. He did it for you. You don't have to do it. Actually, you can't do it. Only Jesus can do it. The story of Jesus, right? The story of the thieves. The believing thief, we are called to see Jesus as the king with a kingdom, the innocent Savior, the merciful Redeemer, and a purposeful sacrifice. A call to choose. As the darkness lifted and the earth trembled, the two thieves remained, one becoming rejected and entering into the entrance of hell, the other finding peace in his final moments and being welcomed to heaven. The contrast between them was vast, yet the echoes, the decision every person faces with the encounter of Jesus Christ. One saw only the end of his story, resigned to the punishment that he deserved. The other, in his brokenness, saw the promise of grace and the hope of a kingdom in the middle of the pain of his cross. Their stories, though brief, are a reflection of the deeper question each of us must answer. What will we do with Jesus and the cross? Will we mock? Will we debate the power that he showed? Will we, like the repentant thief, recognize the mercy he offers and reach out in faith, no matter how lost we may feel? The thieves on the cross remind us that it is never too late to turn to Jesus. Whether in our final moments or in the midst of our everyday struggles, his invitation stands. Come to Jesus. The thief on the example echoed, "Remember me." He acknowledged who Jesus was, saw him as king, and just simply said, "Remember me." The question is, will we hear it and will we respond? The story of these two men calls us not only to reflect on their fates, but to consider our own and to consider others around us. What will we choose when we face the Savior's love? As believers, we are called to share this story of the cross, the story that changed the fate of the thief, the story that has the power to change every heart today. Just as the repentant thief in his final moments recognized Jesus as the Savior and asked for mercy, there are countless others around us that need to hear of his grace, his forgiveness, and the hope he provides, and it's up to us. It's easy to think that the opportunity to share the gospel is distant and that others are not open to hearing it. But reality is, every day, people are facing their own crosses. Whether in despair, regret, or brokenness, whether they too need to know that there is a Savior who sees them. He cares for them. He offers them redemption. He died for them, just like he did for the thief. We are the ones tasked with carrying the message. Let us not forget the simple act of telling someone about Jesus on the cross, the Savior who died for all of us. It is the most important decision a person can make. Let's give people the opportunity to reject Jesus or to receive Jesus, just like the thieves had that chance. This is our calling. It's also our privilege, and it's our mission. The world needs to hear of the love that was poured out on the cross. Will you share it? Will you be the one to carry the light of salvation to those in need? Let's pray. Maybe you're here and you say, "Well, I know the story of Jesus Christ. I've heard it many times. I go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I need to do more to share the gospel with those around me every day." Maybe you'd like to take a moment and pray and say, "God, let me not waste these opportunities. Let me not waste this life. Opportunities to witness, opportunities to give the gospel, opportunities to be that person that gives people the opportunity to reject Jesus or to receive Jesus."